Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We had been discussing chapter 2, Sankhya Yoga, Yoga of Knowledge. And we are coming to the end of chapter 2, and we will be discussing the last three verses today. And then we'll move on to Karma Yoga, Yoga of Action. So what we have learned so far in chapter 2, which happens to be the whole summary of Bhagavad Gita. So all the ideas and the basic philosophy of Bhagavad Gita is summarized in chapter 2. First section of about 10 verses, the most important verse was verse 7, where Arjuna said, Karpanya dosho aphat svabhavah, that my nature is tainted, is overwhelmed by the taint of pity, and I do not know what is right and wrong for me. I don't know what is my dharma. Dharma asammuda chetasaha. My buddhi does not tell me right now what is my right dharma at this time. And this is sishyote aham. I am your sishya. So he admits that I need guidance. I need someone to tell me what is right. So sishyote aham. Therefore, tell me sunischitam, without any wavering. Tell me what is right for me. So the first section gives us our condition sometimes in life, that we are completely overwhelmed by the situation and we cannot see what is right and wrong for us. But where we differ from Arjuna is, still our ego doesn't give us that humility to say, I'm completely confused, I am your student, give me guidance from someone who we think can give us guidance. Even at the point of confusion and delusion, we try to hang on to our ego and try to solve our problems ourselves. And therefore, we can't see how to get out of this problem because we are in the problem. We need to surrender to someone who can see it from outside and have complete faith in his advice and guidance and say, I'm going to follow whatever you tell me. Just tell me because I can figure out right now. What we typically do is, we still carry our ego to the whoever we are seeking advice from, then say, look, God, well, okay, but what does he know? My problem only I know. That's where we fail to get the benefit of an advice. So, Bhagavan did not say anything in chapter 1, because he didn't see that he's ready yet. There was Swami says, even giving advice to a wrong person, wrong time, can give more harm then help. Somebody is not ready to take the advice and you come and say, let me tell you my son. Well, my son is not ready. He has to be ready before I can tell him what is right for him. So the first thing we have seen is, at the time when you reach a point of complete confusion in your life, you have to surrender. And in this case, if nothing else, surrender to my own conscience, which is Bhagavan, and say, give me guidance. You tell me, I don't know, my intellect cannot come to the conclusion what is right or wrong. And then obviously we have seen all the guidance Bhagavan gives. So he first changes his paradigm of what he thinks he was. You are not who you think you are. This limited being which you have considered yourself to be you is not really you. This is just your equipment, this body, mind and intellect, which currently I consider it to be me, is actually nothing but my equipment. So, if I can realize that this is something which is mine and cannot be me, then I will be able to realize who I am. And then able to get the benefit of that wisdom which comes to me. So Bhagavan has changed his paradigm and said, you are that imperishable being. And then we have seen the explanation of, just as you change the clothes, you will change the body as well. But you remain the same. Just as you change from the childhood to the youth to the old age. From this life, you'll move on to the next life. The advice given by Bhagavan is how to live life. Sukha dukhe samekritva labha labhau jaya jayau. Tato yuddhaya yujyasva naivam papam avapsyase. In verse 38 he said, so here is how you should live your life. Not a life of inaction, not a life of complete detachment from your duties, but complete detachment from what's happening, what I'm experiencing. Completely having that understanding that all things are transitory. They are finite in nature, in time and space. So sukha dukha samekritva, you remain same. Not that sukha and dukha will be experienced the same way. One will be pleasurable, one will be not pleasurable, will be painful. But I enjoy the pleasurable experience and bear the painful experience. Both time keeping in mind that this is just a passing phase in a finite experience. So I keep my balance. Jaya jaya, victory and defeat. In our life, we obviously constantly winning and losing. We are winning an argument, we are winning a negotiation, we are losing a deal. Marketing people teach you that everyone is selling something. You may not consider yourself a salesman, but you are selling something to somebody. Selling your idea to your spouse, which vacation to take. You have to sell your idea first. So you're constantly selling and marketing and winning and losing in life, and you keep your balance. Just as you don't really get upset when you lose your argument with your wife. Sometimes we do, but you're not supposed to. Because you understand still, we are one family. The same way when I lose or win in the outside in the world, I should have the same equanimity. I win sometimes, they're going to win sometime. The law of probability tells me I cannot have 100% success. As I told you, in our industry, we'll say, what is the hit rate? How many proposals I submitted and how many I won? Now, that hit rate is not really dependent on you, obviously. But it's just a law of probability. It's not which one I'm going to win. I know if I submit 10 proposals, I'll win at least one of them. It's just a law of probability. So I have to be prepared for 9 times ready to be disappointed that somebody else was better than me. But one time when I win, I'm so ecstatic. I am the best. Another 9 times I'll be miserable. I said, no, you have to be same in all 10 times, Bhagavan said. Tato yuddha yujyasva. This is very, the operative word is yujyasva. Engage in this battle of life. You can't run away from the battle of this life. Na evam papam avapsyase. And he's a guarantee. You will not incur any sin. In doing your duty with this attitude, no matter what you think the outcome is, but you are not incurring any wrong impressions on your mind. And then the last section we have seen is the sthita pragna. In the end, Arjuna said, if someone achieves this, how do I recognize him? So the verse 55 gives a short definition, and it says, prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan. Atmani eva atmana tustaha sthita pragna tat uchyate. So how do I become that person who is in a blissful mood all the time? Because you are saying you die, you just you want me to engage in the activity. Typically what we say, well, this is too painful an environment, I need to leave this environment. But one says, no, you can't leave. It's part of your duty. You have to engage yourself in this battle of life and still remain equanimous, stable, blissful. So how? He said, prajahati yada kaman manogatan sarvan. He didn't say to give up all the desires. Desires cannot go away completely. He said, manogatan, fabricated by my mind. Something which I really don't need, but I think I have to have it. The one thing I learned in all this training we go through in corporate world, one of the training I had done was the negotiate to win. They have an exercise of Honest Abdullah's shop in Pakistan and you are an American tourist and you're going to go and negotiate this antique piece or some curios. It's the first thing, and what the American does is they say, oh, that's great, I got to have it. Once Abdullah hears, "I got to have it," he knows he got you. And then he's going to start from the highest what he can imagine. Then he will just come back slightly lower and you think you have done it. If you're from India, what do you do? "Well, I really don't need it, but I think, you know, I'm here." Meena and I went to India last time, and we were, we were in one of these historical places, and she said, I can buy it, but I don't really have space for this in my bag, so I can't really buy it. But if you give it to me for this price, I'll buy it. And the guy said, "So if I give you at the lower price, you'll have space in your bag?" But argument worked. She said, "No, I can only buy it because I don't have space in my bag." So we worked the other way around. "I really don't need it, but if you want to give me." So this is manogatan, you know. By my mind, I have fabricated desires, and then I'm going to say, "I got to have it." Or if I have it, fine. If I give up all the desires which are fabricated by my mind, not my needs, I have desire to fulfill my needs. That's one thing. I'm thirsty and I want a glass of water is one thing. But if I have to buy a Perrier just because it's a status symbol, well, that's my manogatan desires. So Bhagavan said that if you give up all the manogatan desires and just be happy with whatever you come across, you know, atmani eva atmana tustaha, fulfilling my desire is not giving me happiness or joy, it's just fulfilling my needs. But I am always satisfied by myself, who I am and where I am. Atmani eva atmana tustaha, sthita pragna tad uchyate. That is the definition of sthita pragna. Not that he is not working in this world, or he is a sannyasi, he is in Himalaya. But he is satisfied in himself, where he is. He is not getting jealous by reading Forbes magazine and say, "All these people are making all this money and what am I doing here?" You know. So when I am not disturbed by the outside world, and that outside world can create the unnecessary desires in my mind, I am a sthita pragna, Bhagavan says. So then we have gone through the whole characteristics of sthita pragna, that he works in this world in a very intelligent way. That's an intelligent way of living. He does not live life in a chaotic way. Where we live life is somewhat just prompted by our instincts. Go to the mall and have no plan to buy X, Y, or Z, but just because I'm there and look at it, I keep think, maybe I need that, and maybe I should have that, because it's on sale. That's because I never had really defined what will make me happy. So he said, the sthita pragna, what he does, he lives an intelligent life, and say he does not expose himself to those temptations. As soon as he sees there are temptations, he withdraws his senses. So he's always protect himself from getting undue impressions which are not necessary. And that's how we live an intelligent life, where he can maintain his state of equanimity. And then the last four verses now tells us the difference between us and him. Right now I am completely aware of my world, and there are myriads of objects in this world, and I'm seeking happiness in that. Constantly I'm planning, how can I get happiness? So as we have discussed before, our life is divided into two pursuits. Pursuing happiness and avoiding unhappiness. That's all. So what we do is constantly keep planning, what should I acquire, accomplish, so that it will make me happy, and what I should avoid. Well, let's make sure that the market doesn't collapse and my investment doesn't go down to zero. So we constantly planning for yoga and kshema. Yoga is something which I have not acquired, I'm acquiring. And kshema is I'm trying to preserve what I have acquired already. So that's my world. It's the Muni's world is ya nisa sarva bhutanam jagrati sanyami. Sanyami is the one who is satisfied within himself, by himself. In other words, he's happy with who he is. He's not trying to change anything. Whatever comes, he's dealing with it. But he is always happy. Yanisa Sarvabhutana, the reality which all other people are unaware of. They are in darkness about that. They are in ignorance about that. So when I am in a deep sleep, I'm in a complete ignorance about this waking world. Because at the time, there is no awareness about the rest of the world of objects for me. Therefore, we call it night. I'm in a nisha. I'm in a deep sleep. There is no longing, there is no desire, complete bliss at the time. So if somebody in deep sleep and wake him up and say, Neil, what will he say? Let me sleep, please. You know, this is what I want. Don't disturb my bliss. Once you disturbed him, then obviously he came out agitated and now he's in a waking world and everything starts okay. So he's going to make coffee. Now you woke me up. So the whole world, which is ignorant about the reality, he's quite awake. We're completely ignorant about the reality that there is a fourth state of my existence where all these limitations are not there, where I have an unlimited existence, where I'm completely at bliss with myself, just by myself. He is quite awake. So, tasyam jagrati sanyami. He is awake into the state which we are completely ignorant about. We are aware of our three states, deep sleep, dream, and waking. All three are complete different existence. When I'm dreaming, this waking world does not exist for me. When I'm deep sleep, even dream and waking both don't exist for me. That's the time I'm in a complete bliss. The only time I'm in a really complete bliss when I'm in deep sleep. Bhagavan said the Sanyami is awake to the fourth state. He is very aware that there is a state where there is no limitations and no agitations. Yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pasyato munehe. But for that muni, this world of my attachment to sense objects, my identification with the sense object, which is my really world, he's completely unaware of it. For him, that world does not exist where he gets attached to a sense object and starts identifying with that object. For him, this world is nothing but another projection of mind only. A real entity, he knows the reality is the same self which is pervading everywhere, is my own self. So, Yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisa pasyato munehe. For him, he's completely seeing that as ignorance. This identification, the sense object, this is me and mine, does not belong to him. For him, that's a complete ignorance when I say me and mine. For me, that's my real world. Everything else is ignorance. What will be his condition? Now, this verse is very popular and often quoted. Apuryamanam achala pratistham samudram apaha pravishanti yadvat. Just as the ocean is filled from all sides, apuryamanam achala pratistham, established in stillness. Obviously, we only see the surface of the ocean when we go to Virginia Beach or Myrtle Beach. But those who go take a dive, you know, those deep divers, they know there's complete stillness. The real nature of ocean is complete stillness. And you can't disturb the stillness anywhere. All these waters of all the rivers in the world are pouring into the ocean, but it cannot disturb the stillness of the ocean. Tadvat kamayam pravisanti sarve sa santim apnoti na kama kame. So this analogy is used of an ocean, comparing it with the mind of a Sanyami, that his mind, his self, is so established in stillness, the calmness, the bliss, that all the desires entering his mind cannot disturb that peace. So here is what clearly says, desires are going to enter your mind. It's not that he has completely figured out an insulating system that he will have no desire ever. Desires are going to occur. Because the very nature of my interaction with the world is, senses are going to go and attached to the sense objects. And I'm going to get this information back to the mind of the sense objects. And that process is going to create a desire, an attachment to that sense object. But if my mind is not vulnerable to those desires, then it will not disturb my peace inside. As I told you, something which you have completely given up, you won't get disturbed by that. I worked for Philip Morris for many years after I came here, but I was already have given up cigarettes. So every time I pass by and they are giving away free cigarettes, means nothing to me. 20 years ago, those cigarette packets were of a great attraction to me. Just the packing, forget about the cigarette itself. They can attract me and say, well, that's really, Marlboro has a nice package versus the wheels. Obviously, I'm a reformed smoker. So in my college days, we start with some foreign brand in the beginning of the month. Then somewhere we changed it to wheels. Then Panama. In the last days, BD. Because there's so much attraction, and somebody comes from outside, they go, I don't know whether anybody remember. I'm old enough to remember. People who come from Africa, USA, England, what do they bring? Only two things. 555. And whiskey. Only two things they bring, okay? Because, and everybody looking for, so did you bring? So much attraction to it. Culture is still such that they think that, I don't know what these guys are talking about, giving up cigarettes, you know. It's not harmful to you. Well, Bhagwan said that for such a person who is completely established in his bliss, these objects may pour through in his mind from the senses, but it will not create a disturbing desire. Manogatan kamaha. It will not create those ego-prompted desires that if I have that, I'll be happy. It says, sa santim apanode. Such a person achieves that peace. Na kama kame. Bhagavan was not satisfied to just say, such a person gets santi. He said, who does not get santi? Desirer of desires will never get happiness. That's obviously is the final conclusion here. Now, in our world, we have other way around. More I fulfill my desires, happier I will be. iPhone 5 to iPhone 6, I should be happy. Swamiji gives an equation. The quotient of happiness is number of desires fulfilled divided by total number of desires. So you see, what we continue to do in our life is to change number of desires fulfilled. But we don't think that we are getting the quotient correct. We are not raising the happiness quotient. Why? Because in the underlying, number of desires also keep increasing. Therefore, my result is always lower happiness. He said, our rishis found out that the best way to do it is reduce the number of desires. And that way, we will be always ahead of it. So, na kama kami, desire of desire, fulfilling desire will never get you to the happiness you're looking for. Last two verses conclude and say, vihaya kamani sarvan pumam charati nispravaha. One who gives up all the desires, pumam charati nispravaha, he moves around in this world freely. One who is not gambling, he can walk through the casinos freely. But when he's vulnerable, well, you have to avoid them. Don't go toward the roulette table. You may lose a lot more money. Just go to these slot machines because at least you can control what you are losing. So he said, only the person who can give up all the desires. Now, again, we have to remember that desire does not mean that my life will be devoid of. Those desires will constantly be filtered through my intellect, whether it is right for me or wrong for me. Is it necessary for me or not necessary? Good for me or bad for me? And I'll be working accordingly. Nirmama nirahankaraha sa santi madigachati. All we are looking for in life is shanti. Bhai jara santi apne, leave me in peace for a while. That's all we are looking at. Bhagavan said the only way you will get is nirmama nirahankaraha. This is mine and this is yours. When I give up and realize that one day I will leave everything here and walk away. If I keep that in mind all the time, that there was nothing ever was mine, nothing ever will be mine. Hotel room, I checked in. Now it is my room. When I check out, it was still in my hotel owner's room. Nirahankaraha, I am not the doer. Sa santim madigachati, such a person achieves that bliss. Last verse, esha brahmistiti. This is the state of existence the Upanishads are talking about. We have heard from Upanishad the state of being Brahman, that becoming one with your real self, becoming one with God. And he said, esha brahmistiti. This is the brahmistiti. When you are content with yourself, by yourself, you do not have any frivolous desires to fulfill, and you have no mind, and I am the doer, then that's a brahmistiti. Because he becomes one with that consciousness. Partha na enam prapya vimuhyate. And we constantly argue about this and say, yeah, I have experienced that, but we come back to the same thing. Say, no, that means you never experienced it. If you ever came back to this delusion again, you never experienced it. You see, once the light is lit in a dark room, you will already know what's in that room. You will never be confused about what is in that room. You have known the knowledge. No one ever, once experiencing that, will get deluded by this I and mine, and my happiness lies in the sense objects. Titva asyam antakale api brahma nirvanam ruchati. Here is where I think we can take some consolation. It says, even at the end of your life, if you experience it, even for a moment, you will be released from this. So it's not that I have to be constantly be thinking about how much time I have left to realize this thing. He said, no, it requires just an instantaneous knowledge. And that may happen anytime. It is very similar to, and I keep using this analogy, learning music. And say, I want to get this thing right. How do I understand that I am in singing in scale or I am in rhythm? And your teacher will say, you keep practicing, Neil, you will get it. He said, when? I don't know. But you will get it. When you will get it, it will be instantaneous knowledge. And you won't even know when it happened. So Bhagavan said, all you have to do is continue trying to get that state all the time in your life, without worrying about when will I get it. Because the when will I part creates most of the problem for us. And that's why we say, yeah, this is, but I don't think I can get it. Because we already put a timeline and said, if I go to Gita class and if I do the Gita for one time, I should be able to understand this thing. And the Swamiji said, there are Swamis who are 99 years old, they are still reading Bhagavad Gita to find out what is the meaning of life. So you have to constantly be aware of your purpose in life and not worrying about when you are going to get it. Sthitva asyam antakale api. Even at the last moment you will realize it is good enough for you. You will be released from all your bondages forever. Brahma nirvanam ruchyate. He becomes one with that Brahman.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhina. Sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.